Cleveland. Oh, we got numbers. Look at that.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Cleveland Moto episode. It's episode number 429. My God.
Light them up, boys.
Ah. Oh, that was good.
Maybach.
No, it's Maybach.
It's Maybach. It's your Bach. It's Ellicottville Maybach, German-style lager. It's delightful. Chris, you've got a very big pink drink.
Thank Sorry, I waited.
I waited until your mouth was full.
Full of chips.
Shit, that's a bad guy, bad host.
Well, Tommy Boy made some fun drinks.
That was Becky. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Becky
cocktails.
That's a Becky Rita.
That is a Becky Rita right there.
Well,
that
there
is
you
a,
go.
All the
go.
Good, all the good. And to his left, we have...
Steve Sleepy.
And to his left...
Dan Kropke.
And manning the bar today...
Tom Pennington.
Tom Pennington. Tom, you went and saw the Cleverleys.
I did see the Cleverleys.
The Cleverleys. And what is up with the benefit squirrel hunt?
Wait.
Help me out. Okay, all right. Kill a squirrel, save a whale. All right. Got it. Mm-hmm. The benefit squirrel hunt.
I believe the line is every 13 cents for every squirrel bounty is donated to Save the Whales Foundation.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So kill a squirrel, save a whale.
Kill a squirrel, save a whale. Very good. So they're a...
Bluegrass band that does mostly covers, which is really
which is what you want to hear.
Their entire thing, well, their entire thing was, you know, bluegrass is kind of stodgy and old and, you know, it's been done over... I've told a friend of mine.
Wait, we need some input here.
Sleepy's kind of like, what?
Sleepy's like, I disagree.
No, but, all I'm going to say is, like, okay, play it.
You know, it's kind of.
Right.
I always tell my friend, it's, you know, it's not like they're writing any new Irish dirges. Right. You know, it's kind of the same thing. And so what they do is they take modern contemporary music. This all goes back to Weird Al doing parodies.
Or Richard Cheese doing lounge versions of whatever. Versions. Yeah, right.
Yeah. We so all they like do that. Bluegrass versions of everything.
Everybody likes
really,
a good cover.
They're really, and they're really good. Because dude originally was a stand-up comedian. Digger Cleverley was originally a stand-up comedian. So his timing is freaking on.
He's got it. Yeah, and I love that stuff because there's nothing better than you see something like a postmodern jukebox.
Yeah.
I would never know the words to All About That Bass.
Oh, exactly.
But because postmodern jukebox does it,
exactly.
It's fine because I'm old.
You know, that's the whole thing.
Or Leo Moriachali. Leo from...
Morlocchio.
Yeah. He does the death metal covers of everything. Death metal covers.
And, you know, you laugh, and one of the next places the Cleverleys are playing is... Ye old grand old Opry.
Ye old. Grandy oldie Opry.
Grandy oldie Opry.
My God.
And you're like, because 20 years ago, the Opry would not have, this is not an Opry thing.
Yeah.
And but now they're like, no, we kind of need some young blood.
It's Ameripolitan now, so we're kind of acknowledging that American music of that era needs a voice.
Yeah.
Right? So that's
It's good music. I mean, even sleepy will admit it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and you know who doesn't love a mandolin, a banjo, and a stand-up slap bass, and a steel guitar. Yeah. I mean, you got to get on this.
And even better if you know the words.
Exactly.
Which is better.
And it has that pop appeal to the ye old younger crowd.
Ye old younger crowd. I'm an old timey youngster.
Old timey youngsters.
That's very cool.
So
that was over at
Hatfields.
Very cool. They've been getting some good bands.
They make Becky, as Becky says, they make some of the best pizzas in town.
This pizza's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That pizza's not fucking around. That is death by garlic on a pizza. So very good.
This message brought to you by
the Hatfields Good Grub. Bringing all the best brisket to the Cam's Corners neighborhood of Cleveland, Ohio. Well, weird stuff. I mean, obviously, Cleveland hasn't been as smoky since 1977.
Is that when the river was on fire?
No. But it's when camels.
To me.
I was going to say it's when Pall Malls, Marlboros, and Camels were present at every single child's Little League game. They were
giving them away free.
Exactly. And it looks like Timmy on third base has got a Terryton. And
we got to fix that.
Can we get the camel girl out there? So, but it is a very funny thing to look out and see Cleveland in a haze because Cleveland's been so clean for a long, long time.
9 in the morning.
At 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah. I was like, wow, I wonder when this fog's going to roll out. And I was like, wait, we don't have that here.
I was going to say, I woke up and I swore the neighbor's house was on fire. I was back in New Orleans. There was a marsh fire and I went outside and went,
it had
I
the
can't
smell.
See the neighbor's house.
It had the distinctive smell of a bonfire that got wildly out of control and took out the garage.
Yep.
And it turns out that distinctive smell made it all the way down from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And so
and it
that's
made it all the way to North Carolina was the wilder part.
It's it was pretty rough the other day. I was normally I'm like, I'll smoke a pack if I have to over the weekend. And the other day I was like, whoa, I'm feeling a little something. Because, you know, I rode the motorcycle and I was doing some, you know, fairly decent work.
But there was a thing about it being like the equivalent of smoking seven packs. It was something
all
crazy.
I know is we did get a 280 or something. Oh, we had like a 280 score, which is pretty solid.
Well, Renee would not open the door.
No way.
So a buddy of mine's riding around on his monkey. He's a former firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what are you doing out on a day like that? He says, it's a breath of fresh air.
Breath of fresh air.
You know, for these firefighters, they don't even register.
No.
But, yeah.
But it is a thing, and it's hitting everybody, right? So, you know, it's just a strange thing.
You know what was interesting? Did you guys see the video of the satellite image of Canada? Mm-hmm. And all those fires kind of started together. It's weird. Like, all over Saskatchewan, I was like...
Yeah, well, you know what? If you don't get enough rain...
Yeah.
And you got a lot of trees, and they haven't burned in a really long time. It's just waiting.
No, I know, but it was just real, like, in different spots.
Yeah. If you don't sweep the forests.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, it'll take care of itself.
It'll take care of itself.
With fire. Yeah. Right. It will take care of itself, I promise you.
And squirrels.
You're not going to like it. Yeah, it's pyromaniac squirrels. That's the problem.
All these fucking Canadian squirrels are just taking over.
What's...
They're thinking, being super polite to all our squirrels.
I have not seen black squirrels until I moved to Cleveland. It feels like, those are out of Canada. So yeah, Canadian squirrels are a thing.
Well, the real problem is the damn Canada goose.
Right.
Because what I know is that if you rub two Canada goose together, they're going to make a fire. Because they're naturally covered in that downy substance.
Yeah.
And if you rub a couple of them together, you could have a fire. And when I was a kid, that was a protected species, right? You weren't allowed to fuck with those things.
Well, yeah, that's where the Canadians had all their anger.
Which is a little ridiculous.
I do not like cobra chicken.
Yeah, cobra chicken is that should be number one on the menu because there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
In my neighborhood, there's a lot. Our old shop and mentor, when you'd push the bikes in at the end of the day, you'd slip and slide on the cobra chicken poo.
Yeah.
And there was, and they would just, Emmy was funny because she was like, I think if I roll the roll up door open, they'll come in here. I was like, yes and no. Right. Of course they'll come in here because they're dumb.
And they're dicks too.
And they're assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, one, don't want them coming in. Mm. And two, why are you so like, I want to pet one? No, you don't want to pet one. It, you know, people are like, I'm going to pet a kangaroo. No, a kangaroo's going to kick your fucking ass, right?
Last thing,
or an American bison.
Or an American. Oh,
jeez, all those videos.
Yeah, that's it.
But no, a goose will fuck you up. Their beaks are actually...
Oh, stop.
Dude, have you ever been attacked by a Canadian goose?
I have been attacked by Canada
scary,
goose.
It's scary, dude.
No.
They will give you welts that resemble a paintball gun at close range.
Yeah, dude.
So you're just too slow.
You're right.
You gotta get a hold of them by the neck early on.
If you get a hold of them by the neck, I'm pretty sure all you're gonna deal with are, I've heard they have webbed feet with talons. That's a hell of a combination.
Where the hell did you hear that?
Because I got...
Centrifugal force is your friend.
So Dan saying, straight thing is, grab cobra chicken by the neck and then instantly whirling dervish.
Snap it, yeah.
This is instant
Dan,
whirling dervish.
You look over at Dan, he's squeezing it, playing like a fucking bag. He's like, he's got the neck over blowing out of
it's the pillow factory for you, Bruce.
Spent a lot of my youth duck and goose hunting, and sometimes you just wound one and you have to dispatch it.
Yeah, well, there you go. My neighborhood at the moment is overrun with them because all the little fuzzy ones are all adults now. Mm. So,
but you have eagles over there.
We do.
Which is very, very cool.
The eagles have been taking all of our brown furry items out of the backyard. So the brown furry items, you know, woodchucks, that little stuff, the bunnies.
Woodchucks?
Oh, man.
Those 65-pound woodchucks?
No, there's the little ones. Pete, the one that we've had in the backyard for... Pete lost his buddy.
Pete?
Well, it's Pete and Repeat.
What the hell happened to Pete? You know,
we don't know. We're not sure whether we lost Pete or Repeat, but we lost the smaller of the two to an eagle. It was an eagle fucking took off with the Groundhog Day. So he got that one. So then the couple of bunnies, we got to see... I got... Bunny Guts was in my backyard, so we know the eagle got a bunny out of the backyard. I don't care what they do, as long as they take the things that are normally eating my tomatoes and everything else. And eagles can take anything else because eagles aren't eating out of my garden.
No.
But the eagles are eating the things that are eating out of my garden, so I'm cool. When the day that I see a bald eagle take even a medium-sized deer out of my backyard, I am going to be the happiest guy in the world.
You're going to give him a free token.
Oh, buddy. The deer in my neighborhood are just straight fuck you ghetto punk now. Like, they're just like, yeah, whatever. We're deer. Yeah, I'm going to eat everything you got over here. I'm a deer.
Right? On the 4th of July, you're going to wake up. There's going to be eagle screeches and fucking Uncle Sam coming out of there.
I like it. We used
BB
to have,
gun.
We used to have one eagle cam, and now we have like seven eagle cams at Avon Lake because we are getting a whole hell of a lot of bald eagles, which is fine because when I'm sitting down at the lake on the pier having a cocktail and I see an bald eagle
freedom
fly over.
Freedom flies over.
Yes, it's really cool.
You know what would be awesome, though? This would just... A certain crowd might not like this, but what if all the bald eagles were just gay? Like, just straight up, like, screech.
Fierce. But it is fun when you watch them, because we have a fish in Lake Erie called a sheep's head.
Yeah.
And it's a big, big, giant, stupid fish, and it's not good for a lot.
Carp.
It's a big-ass carp, right? It's a big, white, bleached-out carp.
The fat head.
Oh, God. And, but...
Good eating?
But they go pretty heavy. They go pretty big. Yeah. And so we used to have a lot of a problem with you'd go canoeing or kayaking and they'd just be floating on the surface every so often. There's too many of them around dead floating and nobody'd eat them. And it was too big of a job for your average seagull. Well, not these goddamn spruce goose fucking bald eagles we got. These things come in and they'll grab the entire giant 12-pound fish and off they fuck with it.
Until they drop it on your car.
It's pretty cool, man. They're doing good God's work out there, I tell you, those bald eagles. I'm all for it.
Circle of life.
It is very much, it's the evening to balance out a little bit.
That was probably Johnny Max there.
Oh, yeah.
I did get a poo.
What's that?
I've got Johnny Max.
Yeah.
That's extra then.
Okay. I got a poo on my van the other day that can only be bald eagle poo because it's about 9.5 feet long. And there's, unless they've taught the hippo to fly, it can only be bald eagle poo because it goes on the entire roof of my van and down the sides of the windows.
Wow. Don't you have egrets out there too?
I don't know, but
that'd be a really big one for that.
Have egrets, but I haven't seen one personally yet, but we've been told they're out.
That might be more heron-sized at that point.
Yes. So I pulled up on the screen, if you guys are interested. The little motorcycle
I thought this was Canada Goose.
Where's the seat on this machine?
Well...
You see that little the thing under his hand on the bump of the tail?
No, that's to stop you from getting eaten by the bear.
Y'all know that we were talking about the Italjet dragster.
Yeah.
Right? This Velocifero, which is another Italjet thing, right? This is a 200 horsepower.
Herspers, yeah.
Electric scooter. And it's a combined project between just everybody. Let's just say everybody. That's all it is. They're going for a land speed record. And I'm going to tell you, whether or not they say it's in the scooter class or the electric vehicle class, or I don't care. I really don't care. The story that I love is this guy. The son of a former professional Ducati and Benelli racer will attempt to emulate his father's 1969 speed record attempts at Monza by riding the prototype Velocifero 200 horsepower electric scooter in a quest for his own speed records. Alexander Tartarini, which if you're a motorcycle racing historian, you'll know that name, will ride his motorcycle, his electric prototype at Monza June 30th, 54 years after his dad, Leopoldo Tartarini, tried to break some world speed records of his own on a three-wheeled cycle car powered by a CZ250 engine. Alexander was the creator of the Velocifero brand, which has, to various degrees, mirrored his father's own journey through the motorcycle industry. Now, this is the reason that the new Italjet looks like liquid sex. There's no better way to say it. They've done all the right things, as far as I'm concerned.
I object.
Okay, go ahead.
I object. It has the name Velocifero down the side.
Well, the race one does.
I understand.
But the dragster doesn't.
I understand. It should have been called the dragster then, not the Lodge Vero. You know why?
Why?
Because it does not look like E.T. fucking a basketball.
That's true. The Velo is...
with a football helmet.
The Velo's pretty fucking awful. The Velo was pretty goddamn ugly. But the weird thing about this is, this guy has not one, but two fully paralyzed legs.
Oh.
What did you do today? Because he's going to ride a 200 horsepower electric bike and set a land speed record with two fully paralyzed legs, which then goes back to your first question is where's the motherfucker going to put his feet?
Ah.
Well, apparently they're going to be Velcroed somewhere because he don't need them.
That's I why mean, there's no seat, because they can just bend his legs backwards.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
He's just fucking
fold him up, fold him up, fold him up like a cot.
I think they're going to slide his legs into the area left and right of the place where his ass goes.
He's had a procedure where they went and they just went and just fucking they just right into the
where, I feel like I could,
where you'd have the glove box. They just shove his feet in there.
It's like a futon.
I feel like I accomplished something just by getting that PX running. So
honestly, this is one of those ones where I just go, all right, again, he's got. He's paralyzed from the waist down.
Good on him.
What the like? Oh, I feel really bad about what I did today. The paralyzed guy from the is going out to set a land speed record and scooting.
Yeah, but think about it, man.
200 horsepower.
Now, number one.
Yeah.
When did his legs get paralyzed?
Not yesterday.
I mean,
it says he was involved in a serious crash during the Moto Giro. So that's a 1,000 mile race.
Oh yeah. No,
so he's in the Moto Giro
and he has not stopped riding. This is perfect.
And he was riding for Ducati when it did, which literally he would walk and ride again, but he's been unable to pass the strict racing health checks, which ends his racing career.
Right.
So fuck it. I'm going to set land speed records.
Yeah.
Well, you fucking
hell go. Yeah.
You fucking hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well think about it. Your fear would be a lot less because if you crash, you can't feel your legs. So it's not really going to hurt anything.
So how about this? So he decided to ride around.
Oh, now I can't feel my legs.
He decided to ride around.
I know. It's a horrible joke.
What's the matter with you?
Look.
What is the matter with you?
You have to pay over $10 for the Patreon just to get that punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a fun paragraph. So he decided to, after the crash,
yep.
He decided to ride around, this is his dad, okay? After the crash, he decided to ride around the world on a Ducati as a promotional exercise, along with his friend Giorgio Monetti. That groundbreaking trip, in turn, led Leopoldo to become a manufacturer himself. He founded the firm Italamazetta. Thank you. Italamazetta.
It's Italian.
In 1960, which eventually went on to become the unorthodox Italjet brand, the maker of the dragster scooter. Just a little something for the folks at home. Italjet has made goofy shit as long as I've been alive.
Oh, yeah. There's a little 70s.
The Italjet KitKat, folding bikes. Italjet has made wonky shit. Italjet has also made some screaming fucking two-stroke dirt bikes.
Yeah.
Italjet has made a ton of stupid, silly bikes. I knew about them because the Kmart in front of my neighborhood, I grew up, Kmart, in front of the Kmart had a little thing you put a quarter in as a dirt bike and it'd go. But the bike they used wasn't a PW50. It was an Italjet.
It was Italjet, No, I had one of those in my Kmart too.
So as a kid, I was like, what the hell is Italjet? And so you kind of learn, right? So this guy's dad invented that kooky fucking weird brand that is Italjet. Game on, man.
But you know what? What's interesting about Europe is like a lot of because of grants and things like that, like you asked why we aren't doing stuff. I think a lot of Europeans just go, I would like to do this crazy thing. And then they go to the government and they go, okay, we'll give you a grant for that. Yes. And then they can do it.
Right.
You got to quit your job. You have no health insurance. You're like, I would like to try something. Oh, I can't. Sorry. Fuck.
So what are you doing this year? It's, you haven't started college yet. You're out of high school. You know, what are you doing?
Gap year.
Gap year.
What's,
I'm sorry, huh? What, how does that work? You get money to just go learn shit?
Gap year.
Yeah.
Well, that's the joke right. about, you know, we're always
that's
talking
better
about
than gap year. You don't want to have a gap year. Oh.
No. That's how kids are paying for college these days here in the States.
Yeah.
Only have fans. You seen my OnlyFans?
That's it. No, that's the old joke about, though, how the Germans were always so into tuning Vespas when we were getting into it. We're like, yeah, we're going to buy them a Losi kit and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to go down to my basement and rank up the bridge port. I'm going to put a, you know, TZ-175 yeah. freaking piston in this this 50cc and crazy nut.
And the government paid them to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Right.
Our government sucks.
You want a machine? Wait, you want to learn how to Eagle. Machine? You want to learn how to machine cylinders and pistons in your yeah. basement? I think we can find you a milling machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
And
right.
I talked about bringing a bridge port in one day, though, and Phil yelled at me. So
that will slow down productivity.
Bridgeport's the only machine that can build a bridge port.
Well, now a robotic bridge port can do it without the operator.
Right.
Right.
That's what AI does.
That's what AI does. Oh, it's just like, it builds it in a freakishly surreal manner now.
Yep. Ed Delzani has three bridge ports.
That's
here's the deal. When they make these fucking AIs making food for you, that's when you don't eat it, because them fuckers are sneaking shit in there at the office. I'm just telling you right now.
I'm kill just all humans. Letting you know. Kill all humans. Kill all humans. Kill all humans.
We can either die slowly or quickly. Which way you want to go?
It's, yep.
Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, humans. They invented AI.
Ouch. So, yeah, so that's, I found that intriguing that the guy's going to go after, you know, this a scooter with 200 horsepower.
I mean, I have some logistical questions about that where, you know, when it comes to a slow stop, how does he stop?
Well, he's
got it figured out. I get it. I'm guessing.
No. The man who's going to be on the bike has partial use of his legs. He's recovered.
He just can't pass physical for.
Right. But he can't get back on the racetrack.
Okay,
right?
That makes more sense. All right. I was like, this is, you know, a little weird for. If they're going to tuck his legs in the glove box, it's going
to
be
then
weird.
Again, though, I mean, if you're doing two ways, you might not have to stop. And so, like,
he's had a really long turnaround.
You run around the other way, and then when he comes to the end, his team, he stops and the team holds him up. It's not.
Oh, man.
And the other option, if he crashes, it doesn't matter if he had legs or not. He's still going down, right?
Yep. So why are you going to hell?
Well, yeah. Reasons. I wanted to read one topical hate mail from our Patreons.
Yay.
Remember,
John's going to be so sad. He's not here.
I know he's not. If you guys participate, you Patreon thing, you can
send us hate mail.
I just want to make sure people know clevelandmoto@gmail.com, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty fucking easy to remember, right? clevelandmoto@gmail.com is a way for people who don't send us money on Patreon, who just want to give us a criticism or a big fuck you, whatever, clevelandmoto@gmail.com. It's fine. Super easy. If you're a Patreon member, we said it. I'm going to read you, right? That's it. I'm going to read your stuff. And so, again, love the name KLR Facehead. So KLR Facehead says, "Sup, guys? The name's Sam, and I'm a 25-year-old Gen 3 KLR fetishist from Minnesota.
Hey.
Who has suffered through an every episode from Dustin's Garage to Chocolate Thunder and White Lightning to the Rotskeller. Hours of my life I will never get back. I got my AMA Vintage Days camping spot months ago,
nice.
And I'm planning on riding the KLR down from Minnesota, right?
That's right.
On my first road trip.
Nice.
Hey, all right. I can't wait to meet y'all and drink from the Bourbon Fairy fire hose.
Here's a quick tip from your weird cousin Sleepy.
Yeah.
When you get to fucking Vintage Days for your first time, you're going to get fucking shit hammered.
Yes, you are.
But don't do that on Saturday or Sunday before you have to ride 75,000 miles home.
That's a good safety tip, especially on the KLR.
And put your tent up first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Tom with the clutch one.
Yeah. Very good piece of advice. Tom, that is really
I learned
important.
This lesson.
I shared a picture earlier this year. It was an honest picture from Mid-Ohio last year. I woke up at like, I don't know, 5:30 or 6 on the one morning, and I was walking around going to find a place to piss, and this dude, there was a pile of sticks, a crumpled up tent kind of carcass, and he had managed to put his shoulders and head inside what little leverage he made out of the tent poles and was just out, but his body was just laying in the grass out. He just gave up. He was like, fuck it, my head's
always put the tent up first.
Yeah. Excellent point.
We have all learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, and that really is, to prevent you getting as far as I got my tent out of the bag, mm-hmm. and now I'm just going to roll up in it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's
well, not only that, but after about like 12 beers, tent instructions mean nothing.
No. But yeah, you're still sober, suddenly, while the sun is still out,
suddenly you're Frank Gehry putting shit together, and it's still not going to walk.
It's not going to walk. Yeah, that's it. And when you do it in the daylight, you can look around you, and you can acknowledge those things you're going to trip over later. Mm. What happened at our campsite, the FEMA camp last year?
All the blue tarps.
But what happened last year was, a lot of tents got assembled by the ladies who were arriving on motorcycles later on.
Yeah.
And so we had kind of made a safe zone, like an Ewok Village thing. We made a safe zone in the back where tents could be put up. Well, what happened is all the tents were being put up, but the guy lines were all interfering with each other.
So
when you'd walk out of one tent, you had to play this game of, like, you know, Mission Impossible with nylon rope lasers.
Which doesn't work at night when it's
dark.
This is another handy tip that I learned hand-me-down.
Yeah.
So the solar lights that you can get anywhere. You can get them anywhere now. Some of them have double A's.
Marks has them for $1.99.
Exactly. Yeah. You put those right at the guy line.
Yep. That's a great idea. Yeah. Just don't even fuck around.
I actually learned that. I'm going to say it. I actually learned that from the hashers. So
at 9:01 this morning, $195 bought you a camping spot with two weekend event passes. Something happened today, and I think it was June 30th was the cutoff date for the discounted price. And I think that the price for the camping spot, the tent spot with two passes, bumped today to $250.
Jeez.
So it's a $50 penalty just today, $55 penalty. And that matters because of our podcast listeners, Patreons, MotoHop. So MotoHop, who came by last year and stickers and everything else, awesome, fucking cool. He's like, I love their thing. Hey, I was originally planning on camping at Vintage Days, but we recently sold our camper. Regardless, I would like to help expand the FEMA camp. If you guys up to it, we booked one of the hotels. Smart. But I like the idea of a space for a 10x10 pop-up to hang out in and unwind during the day. Obviously, I can do this on my own, but that leaves 900 square feet of unused camping area. True.
Right.
If you buy a camper spot, you get 1,000 square feet. Long story short, I'll bankroll a spot if you guys want to use it as an expansion for your space. So I just, you know, and he's like, so if you guys are down with that idea, let me know. It's easier for me to just send you money and you guys register an extra camping space, or if I should just register for the extra camping space. So I was trying to help him out, and I said, you know, here's the link, $195 get you a camping spot. Turns out, no.
Now it's $250.
So when he looked, literally, so he said, not that it matters, but I haven't seen it for $195. $265 on Mid-Ohio's site or $255 on AMA's site. $125 camping with no passes plus $65 per weekend pass. It's changed, right? Wow. So what I'm telling, you know, so MotoHop, we definitely want MotoHop to be part of our FEMA camp.
Sure.
So we got you, MotoHop. You're good. You're welcome. You'll have a 10x10 spot, no problem. If you don't bring a 10x10, we will have plenty of them. I just bought two 10x20s from Summit Racing. So, well,
We have
30x20.
Yeah.
You've seen my glamping setup. So.
Right. Yeah. So we have no shortage of pop-up tents.
We got to figure out how to get in on Monday. So that we
can I think I alone have 6 10x10 easy ups.
And I got a couple. Right. With a 10x10. Yep. Yeah.
I got a couple. And I donated one last week.
You did. Right. So we're going to have shade.
Yeah.
Now, the thing we got to not have is high winds.
Right. Or we have to figure out a better. So I think this year, what we need to do is we need to brace the wall that faces the road.
Yeah.
We got to tie those down more.
Yes, we do.
That's what happened. Those failed, and then it pulled a bunch of shit.
I need to go get the weights that they sell for the easy ups.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting to go get
them. We have those. They're called scooters and motorcycles.
No. I mean the actual ones you hang off of them.
That's not what fails, dude. What fails is, like, you have the broad side of the tent.
We did the move last year was when the weather started getting rough. We immediately snagged all the covers
off.
So we popped the covers off of the edges. So they were just flapping. And then we didn't get any damage.
Right.
And then when it stopped blowing, we just put the covers back on again. Yeah. So, like, that was the move. I was very impressed by our ability to get on that.
And the other thing, I think what we're going to have to do, because we obviously are going to have another giant tent village, is that somebody's going to have to monitor it. If there's any, like, we're going to have to watch the weather in the morning. Right. And if it says possible storms at 3, we need one person, somebody.
Totally right.
You know, we can rotate every 20
minutes. I thought it was funny how we were texting, and we were texting. We're like, I can't get there. Who's there manning the camp?
Yeah.
And the good news is we had people there.
Well,
the
you know, Harley Bob spends most of the weekend at these campsites.
Right.
So. Yeah, so we'll have him. Because, we last year, we were doing the AMA thing. We looked out of the tent, and it went from sunny to, like, black.
It was pretty fast.
And then
it was
quick. We probably were at the farthest point from our campground when the rain
hit.
Oh,
hell yes. Absolutely.
I've never been so wet.
It's
like, I don't even, like, my skin
was
wet.
That's what Mrs. Cinch says.
Yeah. It was vicious.
Look, there's a $10 punchline buried right there.
Right. There is a $10. Right. Yeah. There's a $10 pump. So one of our messages, this goes out to, we were trying to get this thing together where we could do a podcast with Steve Hoffert tonight because he's on the mend, right? Yeah. But he's got visitors tonight. So that's great. I'm glad he's having visitors. That's cool. So Michael Woods wrote, and he goes, just listen to that podcast. Sorry to hear about Grumpy Sewer Guy. I hope he's on the mend. I had my bug smash in 2009, and it took me about a year to get back on the bike. But no family, so I only had myself to consider. Is there anything worth sending him while he recovers? Also, miss him and his no bullshit opinions, so hope you guys can do a hospital cast. Well, he's out of the hospital. He's at his house. Yeah. That's great. As far as donations and everything else, they did, if anybody feels super compelled to make a donation, what I'm going to tell you is there was a, what's that?
Why don't we do a GoFundMe?
Well, I'm thinking better that there were the two rescue units that saved
John
his ass.
Knew the name.
Mecklefresh knows the name. We're going to put it in the show notes. If you really care and you want to take
email,
a look,
he can email
we'll put
back.
It in the show notes. Oh, and right. So we'll link to those volunteer fire departments.
Yeah, volunteer fire departments always need help.
They need money, right? Okay. Yeah. I've never
he's
ran into
right. Even though he's messed up, like he has a good job. You know what I mean? Like,
he has, what do you say? 738 sick days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all got right. Something like 21,000 sick hours
right,
compiled.
Right. So that's fine.
2,000. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fine. Right. So he ain't going to lose his job. That's absolutely fine. No problem with that.
But I think he's probably mad he's using them because he took pride in collecting them. He wanted to retire with like the most.
But I do think that he needs a cashola to help him dig out from the extensive hospital stage.
There you go.
So.
Yep.
Well, I
may have to figure out something.
We'll figure something out.
We'll talk to him.
We'll get there.
Yep. That is a. Somebody did say turning wrenches on old cars. Said, do you guys take 2 gallons of 10-year-old Amsoil as payment instead of cash? I will throw in some free stickers. No, fuck you, man. Just bring that by. Drop it off the FEMA tent. Nobody wants it. Stupid Amsoil.
Well, I mean,
but you know what? He's an Amsoil guy, which means if he stops by, he's not going to leave. And he's basically going to be telling us how we're all using the wrong oil in our bikes, right?
And look, I heard what happens.
Look, it's called Rotella. I find a better oil.
I had an Amsoil guy tell me he would trade me, even Steven, for my Rotella. I'll take that Rotella off your hands and leave you some real oil just to get you started. This is not heroin,
you know
bud.
What? You know what?
This is not heroin.
Your Gen 3 KLR guy?
Yeah.
He's already had that conversation, so you know what? No. Rotella it is.
Rotella it is.
Or just any oil.
Rotella is always. Man,
you can argue on a KLR forum about not Rotella.
Right. It's just Rotella, man. Just fucking.
Just Rotella.
Just fucking Rotella.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Just Rotella. That's it. Okay. On to some real goddamn news. This is for Dan Kromke. Triumph does the 400. And it's fucking beautiful.
It is. They killed it, man. And you know what is crazy?
It's beautiful.
They show the pictures, and it looks like a quality fucking bike, man.
Ah, oh, it makes me so angry that this bike is so nice.
You know what? You know what makes me really, really
happy?
Wonder about the universe?
Yeah.
Bajaj makes so many vehicles for so many companies.
They do. Yeah.
And just decided, you know what?
They're
we'd rather just make bikes for everybody else and just make the money.
Yes. Good, because you don't have to market.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer warranty claims.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy people shit.
You don't have to design.
Right? You don't have to. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want us to build it? We'll build it.
We've got a huge infrastructure in India.
Both of the Scrambler and this one look so good.
It's a good-looking bike.
It looks a lot like my Z900, to be honest with you.
I have a problem, guys.
They look almost identical.
Yeah, we understand that, Phil, but we've accepted that.
Right. Question. This one-cylinder motorcycle has its one exhaust coming out of the right the right side of the cylinder.
Yeah, it looks like a twin.
It looks like a twin.
Uh-huh.
It looks like a twin from one side.
Right.
Thank you. looks like a twin from right. one side. But that exhaust valve, exhaust header, is coming out at an angle that I could only describe as being, where the fuck's your exhaust valve at? Right?
Yeah, right.
Because if this is a four-valve overhead single, which I'm assuming that it is, first of all.
Well, hold on. How is it any different than the 300 that you had last week with the right angle adapter?
That's fine because the right angle adapter is coming out of the middle of the cylinder.
You know,
right,
I'm gonna say this
probably has an internal passage.
Now I'm going through this because I just want to bring this to the attention of the kids at home. Okay, because it's worth mentioning. You will not see a picture of the left side of this motorcycle.
Yeah, what the fuck?
There is no left side.
I was going to say, they only built the right side to this motorcycle.
Is it hideous? Like, why aren't they showing us the other side?
It's like what, a Two-Face, or it's got the entire left side of the bike. It's just horrible.
I mean, I don't want to be that big of a fucking, you know, buzzkill or whatnot, but I've been through this website, and no matter how many pictures I've seen of this motorcycle, I've only seen pictures of it from the right side.
Oh, you're not kidding. Like all the, like a Google image search.
It's all.
Wait. Launch alert. Right. Oh, there it is.
What?
All from the right.
All new Speed 400 first looked on Power Drift has a, and it looks like a Triumph twin with no exhaust coming out the side of it.
I mean,
really funny how far I had to look to actually find one picture
of the left of the other side of, the of this motorcycle.
You know what surprises me even more? That instead of having one big giant can like that, they have two fake mufflers on the side.
I've completely thought for sure that the reason this looked the way that it looked on the right side was that because on the left side, right, on the left side, there's going to be another fake exhaust over there or something, right? But it's really hard to find a picture of the left-hand side of this motorcycle. And I'm not sure if it's because every photographer said, nope, don't get her from the bad side, just get her from the good side. Or whether it's just Triumph is saying, you know, we're approving all images that go out. It's really, really hard.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
To find a picture of the left side of this motorcycle.
Yeah.
Dan showed the Scrambler, and it kind of is fucked up because they have a number plate on that side instead of a side cover.
I'm going to pull that up. Yep, you're right.
So, like, but why wouldn't they put a number plate? Now you have a half a number plate and a half an exhaust.
I think that's just a painted oval on the side cover.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, the Bajaj. So the Bajaj Triumph 400 Scrambler, right? Given the devil its due. Yeah, it's really, really hard to find a picture of that sumbitch on the left-hand side as well. I mean, I'm using Google image search over here, guys.
I don't know where Dan found it.
Motonewsworld.com.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, no, okay. I'm at...
There's a pic of the left.
Unlimited Motorcycling is where I finally got...
Wait, you had it.
Sorry, guys.
That's fair.
It's okay. I'll go back. It's fine. We'll give it a shot.
Oh, Daniel Patrick. All right. Right there. Your mouse. Right one over. Right. Yep.
Right. There Boom. You go. There Is you that go. It?
Yep.
Yeah, that's not the best side.
No.
It's not terrible.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is that Seinfeld episode where he's kissing that lady and he turns, the light changes, and he's like, whoa.
You know what it really reminds me of? That somebody at Triumph didn't think enough to have two, because you said it's four-valve head.
Yeah, it
is. It has two pipes coming out the front into a TT pipe going out the back.
That's money, dude.
That's money.
I get it.
That's all expensive. I get
it.
And
Triumph is all about cheap.
But think about it. They're trying to bring in a 400cc bike at a reasonable price.
Yes, they are.
Anything that they could save. And basically, that would be a fake pipe, so it's not really serving any purpose.
No. If it's a four, I guess Honda does a two-pipe exhaust on a four-valve head. Sure,
but I'm saying the cost savings versus what you're going to get out of it.
Exactly right.
It doesn't going to justify.
Yeah, that's a really weird thing that this motorcycle does not exist.
It's still not making me write it off, though. It's not ugly enough to say I wouldn't. Because about it. Once you're on it, you're not going to see.
having ridden, what is it, the Vitpilon built by Bajaj and a couple of other bikes built by Bajaj, I'm going to wait.
That's a really, it's such a weird thing that.
I mean, it looks quality, though. Like, I mean, like, I mean, obviously,
from the pictures, secondhand through. Until the dealer down the street has one, Phil and I can ride two up down to get to.
Yeah, that's, they got a kick out of that.
Well, no, but I mean, like, but looking at it, like, when you looked at the Honda Navi and you saw the fucking, like, 12 millimeter forks, you were like, this is not an expensive
motor. This is not motorcycle. A good motorcycle, right? We knew that.
Like, it had a 1999 MSRP, and then every Honda dealer in America went, we can't sell that next to the Metropolitan 50.
So I will say, I mean, I think that the 400, even from the left-hand side, looks pretty good, right? Especially as the scrambler.
Do they give a horsepower and or speed rating on this?
I thought every number I saw was extraordinarily optimistic.
40, 39 or 40 horsepower?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
But I mean, is it going to be an American bike? Meaning, can you ride it to Columbus?
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. All right. I'm certain of it. I'm absolutely, it's a dual overhead cam.
You can at
cam.
Least ride it to the cheese bar.
It's a dual overhead head cam, single cylinder 400.
Yeah.
Right? If it has a 6-speed transmission in it, if it's making anywhere close to there, bragged about 39 horsepower, if it's making anywhere near that, you'll be able to ride it and enjoy it and have a great time with it. It'll be fine. It'll be great. And it looks great. It's a cool looking bike. You know what this thing does is it walks up and grabs the Scram 441 or the Meteor 350, and it makes those bikes look like shit. It makes those machines look really cheesy. Yeah, it makes Himalaya. Them look really cheap.
How do you like that Himalaya, boys?
Well, you know, those bikes are so inexpensive. A Royal Enfield Meteor, you know, that's a very, very cheap bike. When you get into that idea behind those things, and you're talking about a motorcycle that's right around $4,000, you know, that's a cheap, cheap bike. That's less than a Vespa 150, right? It's a really cheap machine. But to me, when I sit on that bike and when I've ridden that bike, it feels like a really cheap machine. I am not a person that thinks like, oh, you know, that Meteor's good value for money. Because to me, it's like, man, you could have spent not that much more money and got a lot more motorcycle, right? It feels... Well, it feels like it was built down to a price point. And when you look at the forks on the Meteor, they're not Meteor, right? And when you look at the rear shocks on the Meteor, they're not Meteor. It's it's kind of a really lean bike when it comes to spending money. And I know that it's a 350 and I appreciate the hell out of it being a 350, but it suffers from that whole thing like sometimes these 350 motorcycles aren't full-scale motorcycles.
Right.
And I feel that that's what this is it's playing down to a small bike standard.
Well, right? I'd like to see how big it actually is, though. Because just like you said before, a lot of times they put these models on there, they might be 5'4", and so you're like, oh, it's a decent-sized bike.
No. I mean, I've rode the Meteor, and it's not a big bike. It's not a bike that, to me, G400C is bigger.
Right, no, I meant the Triumph.
Oh, the Triumph, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know yet, right?
I don't know.
Because, like, think about it. Like, my CB350, I love that bike, but I look like a fucking monkey on it. Like, I look like a giant thing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But then the genuine, not.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and when you do see pictures of the Meteor out in the wild, they tend to be photos of really lean, very skinny people on them.
Yeah, that dude's 5'3".
That are kind of small. I think that's a chick, actually.
Chick, okay, she's 5'3".
But anyway, I'm teasing. But that's not a big person, right? And the bike is not a big bike. So it's too bad you know, that we don't have the scale for that. You're right, for the Triumph 400. But aesthetically, though, I love the look of it. I love both of them. I think they look really good. And hats off to Bajaj for building something that does look like a goddamn Triumph.
Right.
Yeah, 6-speed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I rode the G400 home last night, and I was caning it pretty hard, having a good time up on the freeway. It's a 5-speed. And I was like, yeah, it's a good goddamn motorcycle for, you know, $4,000. For a $39.99 bike, it's an absolutely cromulent bike. It does what it does. It stops nice. It does everything just fine. But the best thing that it does is that it's not a carbureted 400.
Right.
It's not a 1974 motorcycle, but it looks like one.
Well, you know what my plan is, right?
Go ahead and tell me.
So I'm selling my SP250, and I'm going to sell another bike I'm not talking about right yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get one of those off you. As soon as I sell, I'm going to buy the G400C.
Oh, okay.
And then I found a place in Europe that sells the MASH all body MASH kit for the Cafe Racer.
Yep.
So it comes in a metallic silver.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get it, scuff it, and then I'm going to have some fun with it.
Oh, really?
But they sell the fairing, the tank, the seat with the back piece, both fucking side covers.
Really?
And everything. And it's about $690 plus shipping.
Okay. That's so, pretty rad.
Yeah. So, and then that way I'll have a fuel injected, modern, but still old looking cafe racer. That,
I like it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And you get to sell another bike.
And I get to sell another bike. Well, the trick is I don't know how many of these.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to run out. I know. I'm going fast. Yeah, I'm trying.
I know. That's it.
Somebody buy my bike. If you want an SP250, let me know.
In the world of music, if you get a chance and you just want to listen to some silly music, just to entertain yourself, but you also want to listen to some silly music from people that may have been shot at recently, you know. Because, you know, you just want to help them out a little bit. The band is called Ott Vinta. I do not speak Ukrainian. I do not know what that translates to. But what I can tell you is they're a load of fun. And they're Ukrainian rockabilly, punk, ska, whatever.
Yeah, interesting.
They're all those things. And they're a blast. And so they're a really fun playlist. If you want to put a thing on, it's called Ott Vinta. And I can tell you, yes. Your in-store playlist will thank you because they're just a goddamn load of fun. And we've been playing them on and off in the shop all week because we're trying to do Ukrainian punk bands and stuff at the shop. Mm-hmm. And so we've been laying pretty heavy into that because those guys got some shit going on. And if we can give them a little emotional support or a little love, you know, put some energy out in the universe.
You can be like my friend Monica. She hosted a Ukrainian dude that lost his home.
Oh, really?
And so he's been here for a year, but now she married him.
Wait, what?
Yeah, 11 months later, her.
Oh, wait Monica, a second.
Yeah.
Wait. So she's hosting a dude.
Yeah.
Hold what, on. Like Bumble wasn't working for her? What?
I guess
she couldn't
not.
Swipe right. She had her in Portugal.
Well, and here's the thing: she was dating a dude at the time when he got here. Now they're all friends, and he's okay with it. He's like, yeah, he's super cool. Like whatever.
Can we back up 1 second to the chart?
That's him and her. See?
No, look at that. Couple interesting comparisons.
Go right ahead.
Seat height on the Tiger 660 is 32.9 inches.
Yeah.
On the 400, it's 32.8 inches.
Whoa, that's a tall seat for a 400.
Right, and
that's for the scrambler, though, right?
I'm not sure which one I looked at.
Yeah,
I think
they look
same.
Pretty much the same.
They do look the same. It's just
and
a different pipe.
The 400 weighs 395 pounds. Okay. The 660 weighs 455 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a high seat height. And if Triumph's holding to their thing, when Triumph says the word scrambler,
they make it big.
Yeah. Higher than giraffe pussy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is ridiculous. My Steve McQueen scrambler, that 1200, whew. When you get up on that bike, you're like, I need to just make sure I'm doing things right. Cause it's a long way down.
That's like the Africa Twin. I feel like I'm like riding way up
there. Yeah, that's it. And when I ride that bike aggressively, and I made the mistake the other day, I was like, I'm riding aggressively. How aggressively are you riding? I'm riding so aggressively, I'm going to turn off the traction control and go into pro mode. Mm-hmm. So I went into pro mode cause I was going to be adventuring. And I was like, let's get some air into this front wheel and see how she wheelies. Answer, good. She wheelies real good. Mm-hmm. She wheelies really good and really suddenly. And it goes from being, I'm not really wheeling, to, oh my fucking God, she's going over backwards.
Yeah.
There is no safe tipping point like on certain motorcycles, right?
Yeah.
Certain motorcycles. 900RR.
900RR. Like a foot and a half to like 13 o'clock and doesn't you're anywhere matter. In there and you're fine.
You use it like a volume switch.
Yeah.
And it's instantly recoverable all the time because those motorcycles were wheelie machines.
Yeah.
This thing is like, if that, again, you see the Lone Ranger, he's up on Silver. He goes, hi-ho, Silver away. And Silver jumps up and does this horse wheelie, right? And the Lone Ranger's totally in charge. This is great. My Triumph 1200 Scrambler is that, but a camel. And if you've ever seen a camel do anything, it's barely in control. Mm. And if you can imagine the camel rearing up on its hind legs, you know you're properly fucked. Mm. There's no controlling that. It's just going to crash. And that's what the Scrambler is, the 1200 Scrambler. I've watched videos of people doing beautiful block-long wheelies and across the desert and on rough terrain, wheelie, wheelie, wheelie on this thing. And I can tell you, it goes from, this is fun, to, oh, no, rear brake. Right? It goes to that in about an eighth of a second.
Yeah.
So it does not have a broad spectrum tipping point. I then turn the traction control back on I went back to caning it the old-fashioned way and just letting the traction control
do its thing,
protect me, right? And then I was like, oh, this is great again. So I put it back in sport mode, which is very easy to do.
Right.
But I went from pro mode, which is just don't trust yourself that much.
So yeah. now that you have, well, you've had a lot of bikes with ECUs,
but yeah.
two-wheel dyno tuners.
Yeah.
So they did my ECU flash on the Z900. And one of the things that they do, so I have traction control on that. So they took the speed governor off, changed the fans 20 degrees lower to kick on.
Okay.
They yeah. made it less snatchy on the throttle. And then on the one setting for the three, which used to be like a rain mode.
Yeah.
That was real hard on the AB or the traction control sure. and stuff.
Right.
They make it so that it's a wheelie control.
Oh.
So like.
So rain mode, mode three is now 1 foot wheelies.
2.5 foot. Like
oh, even better.
It lets you get to about here.
Really?
And then it kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Then it brings you back down again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So like there's all these tuning shops that yeah. you send them to. They can do all like, yeah, like what do you want to do?
Yeah.
You want your blinkers to blow the horn?
We that's can do fine. That. We yeah. can do that.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, it's just computer, man.
Yep.
It's just ones and zeros at that point. Yeah. The Triumph's sport mode, the wheelie control on that is about. Eight inches, but it comes on a little too harsh.
Wow.
A little too harsh.
Put your wheels down pretty quick, huh?
As soon as you go like, yeah, it's already like, eh, eh. And it should make that sound. You should be like, oh, and it goes, eh, eh, and the front end just drops.
Settle down.
Settle down.
That's the noise it should make right so, there.
Speaking of wheelies,
you should contact the guys. Contact
dashboard,
the guys.
The dashboard just says, settle down.
Hey, Chris.
Yo.
Are you catching the smoke on this yet or not?
Not yet.
Not yet. How much mine smokier than yours?
Because you're a smokier guy.
Smoky.
It is smoky outside.
Speaking of wheelies, to make us all feel better yeah. about the SSRs, you yeah. know how we've tried for years now in vain and maybe get a
the
foot
long
and a half?
Swing arm.
Yeah.
So I've, you know what? Here's what I'll say. Having ridden the 110 with short swing arm
right.
and had 27 undesirable wheelies from me just trying to be stupid.
Right.
To me and you going head to head each other, just trying to wheelie
right.
on a hole shot contest.
Right.
Where we just wouldn't stop doing hole shots.
Right.
Our chain should be 73 feet long.
Right.
Because we never stop doing hole shots and we're not lightweight people.
No.
And you these know, are 125s.
Right. You know, but you're just going to have to take lessons from Oscar.
But what I was going to say is, so that little bike that I bought, it's 2 inches shorter, right?
Yeah.
And it's a semi-auto.
Yeah.
So no clutch.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can bounce it in second gear and it's like, bah! And it's just a fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That well, 2 inches,
yeah.
like I always said, 2 inches can accomplish a lot.
2 inches makes all the difference.
It just depends on where it is, yeah. I suppose, yeah. right? The SSR, the SR125, people are like, I can't make mine wheelie, right? So I'll do a thing in the parking lot when there's kids well, yeah, trying to buy
I,
one
I
or something.
Spent 2 hours at band camp
right.
trying to wheelie, and I got can, it. Up a little bit.
I'll clutch it up in the parking yeah. lot and I'll get it across the parking lot to turn the kids or the dads into believers.
I saw
right?
you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah.
the customers are
like, whoo, because I'm, you know, because you don't want the kid to be like, well, dad, it doesn't wheelie.
Right.
Well, his fat ass just did a wheelie on it.
Yeah.
He's 6'1" and 210. I think.
Get out there and hurt yourself.
Timmy, you got to turn the volume up a little bit, buddy. Right. So we always do some wheelies in the parking lot on the bikes to send the message.
Having seen a 12 o'clock boy on a TNG Milano, yeah. I think anything at this point can be wheelie. Hey, you just have to, you know.
Buddy Kick 125s are wheelie machines.
Oh, yeah.
And that SSR 125 made me work so hard for
you
wheelie.
You got to drop it way hotter than you think. Like,
yes,
they
you
are,
do.
If it had a tech, it would show about 8,500 RPMs before that front wheel's come out.
And Chris's advisement center would then say, settle down.
Settle down.
And it would say, you have 5 of those left on this clutch. No. 4 of those left on this clutch.
And it's service.
And if you're out, yeah, service. If you're out there, we can up gear your SSR 125.
Oh, my fucking
really
God.
Easy.
Down gear it.
Down gear it.
What?
Yeah. Put
question.
A high plate.
Question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
World news. Ukraine.
Yes.
I crane.
We all crane.
Prigozhin. And he's hanging out now in Belarus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are.
So, closer to Kiev.
Well, here's the question.
Here's the question.
Uh-oh.
Lukashenko.
Right.
Does he have to watch his back? Because Prigozhin may just walk right in and say, yeah, I think I want to take Lukashenko out.
Well, you know what?
And I'm going to take over Belarus.
All right.
Well,
and then you know, Putin says, "Well, fuck, okay."
Right.
You know, we didn't need Lukashenko anyhow.
Right.
Well, one of the big things though was that he did not want to depose Putin. He even said that. He said he was against the military leadership. He was not against Putin himself.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hey, if you let the guy shenan, he's going to shenan again.
Right. but that's the thing is the only reason why is they were tired of being thrown literally into a meat grinder.
So here's the question. Who's going to be dead sooner?
Right.
Lukashenko?
Right.
Or Prigozhin? This is the question.
I think they better avoid all windows from second floor.
Yeah. let's avoid tea parties and high windows.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of them is going down.
Well,
because they're not going to have two strongmen in Belarus.
But that's the thing is
he's building a new house. It's just,
no windows.
First floor. The whole thing's with no windows.
Well, he's just got slit windows up, you know, 8 feet high.
How big am I around? Make windows smaller. Okay, I do.
Interesting, y'all landscaping. What are those, mattresses?
I guess I feel like, here's I guess the thing. Prigozhin has clearly said, I'm a boots on the ground kind of fella.
Yeah.
And he's big. He loves boots on the ground kind of thing. That's his jam. He likes being a military leader. But Lukashenko, not so much.
Well, yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, the two generals that Prigozhin was pissed off, they've never been on the front line.
No.
But you know what? Prigozhin's never been on the front line either. He's never been forward.
I think this counts. I think he's got 2 years of experience. I think right now we can say he's got a year or two of experience in asymmetrical warfare. Yeah.
He likes to send those prisoners forward.
Wouldn't you too? That's it.
Well, that's always been the Russian military strategy, is you throw bodies at the problem until the problem solves itself.
Yeah.
And everybody finally went, no, this isn't working.
And Prigozhin's the guy that said the war didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
That it was contrived by the military generals to keep things going. So there's a lot of bullshit going on there. So it's going to be interesting to see who survives, you know, in 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. I absolutely agree.
So everybody at home, place your bets.
Right. Yeah, we are now officially
place Slava your bets, Ukraini.
Placing bets on the on Prigozhin's Belarusian activities, right?
Yeah. So what's this thing?
Oh, you can buy all these little dopey things that plug into a 12 volt and will project items down on the ground.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was Ukrainian motorcycle.
So if you're in front of the Russian embassy in D.C.
Right. Exactly it. But yeah, they sell all these little dopey things that you can put it like, you know, when you open up your Ford Taurus, it can shine S-H-O on the ground.
Ironically, these are made by a Chinese factory sold to project the Ukrainian support.
I don't know that brass.
All the while the Chinese are supporting
that brass housing looks mighty nautical, Tom.
That's true. It might be Bajaj.
Yeah, it might be Bajaj. Yeah, it works even in the monsoons. But it is a silly thing. I mean, it's just When you spend some time looking at this and you're like, oh man, like Putin straight up bombed Wagner's troops.
Yeah.
Like that happened.
I don't think Putin did it himself. He didn't call
the
it.
The military did it.
The Russian military did it. Yeah. Yeah.
When you blow up your own guys?
Well, then Prigozhin's guys shot two.
Yeah.
Or three helicopters out of the
18
air.
18 airmen.
What's the political official's name whose responsibility it is to make sure all the troops don't walk backwards? It's a Russian position where the dude literally, his job literally is.
I have no goddamn idea. But all I know is at no point ever, and I've been deployed in some silly spots, I've been deployed some places, and at no point ever was my thought, I'm at risk of being blown up by my own military because they think our unit's getting a little out of hand. right? Ever. Did that ever? Now, I've been on a few ranges where I've been like, the people running this range doesn't know what they're fucking doing. Or I've been on a range in Grafenwehr where some Bradleys got lit up because they were maneuvering in a place that was an impact zone and they looked like targets because anything looks like a target through 10 power thermals. But it's never been a concern of an army in the field that's wearing a uniform that has, you know, a certain colored patch on the shoulder that they're going to fall under fire that's directed at them by their own military. And that's fucking terrifying. Yeah. I don't care how big Wagner is.
Wagner.
There's more.
So how do they develop? Russians. Yeah. So it's, they're just like literally like a movie.
It's private army.
Mercenary
it's
thing.
It's not Blackwater anymore. It's Xi now or whatever it was after they committed more like all the Blackwater, crimes in Ukraine.
Right. Yeah, it's more like Blackwater.
Or private retired military. What,
do you need to do something that we can't get our DNA on? I got some guys for you.
Yeah, it's called Blackwater.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you know, like all these like Mission Impossible movies and stuff. They're basically the real thing. Like they're weirdo fucking.
How about this? You're like, oh, what about Delta Force? What about the Rangers? What about Special Forces? What about their drunk uncles that have a gun in the closet and are willing to do some sketchy shit that violates every rule of warfare?
Right.
Wagner.
That's, yeah, right.
Right.
Which they don't have to own up to. And they go,
and there'll never be a tribunal.
Right.
Right. And there'll be a paycheck.
You know, so.
Right.
They're effective warriors, but there's really only about 25,000 of them. And it sounds like a lot. But in the grand scheme of things, not be enough.
And I read an article. They said that there's never been a paid mercenary group that actually went away afterwards. Usually, like, when they do it, and they're like, hey,
that's the old more joke.
Dude, that's where the A-team came from.
That's the old joke.
Come on,
is you pay mercenaries to start fighting, and then you pay them more money to stop fighting.
That was the point. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Well, my friends... I'm very happy I'm not there.
Yeah, right.
That is a very, very big thing for me. I feel terrible for anybody who's over there and has to participate in this horse shit. And I feel worse for people that are just civilian people out trying to have a life.
Yeah, it's like that's why all these people are like, I hate the Russians. You can't hate the Russian people. Like, well, some of them, because a lot of them are just stuck. Like, it'd be like if our government
have
went to
shut up is the problem. Right. If they don't shut up, then they're going to get
disappeared.
What did somebody tell me the other day? I was like, you know what? There's a friend of mine who's over there right now. And he said some stuff that I was like, ooh, man, he said that. I don't think we can be friends anymore. Huh. And then my other friend who's here said, hold on. Keep in mind, if he would have said the thing that you would have approved of, he'd be in jail right now. And I went, well, you make an excellent point.
Yeah.
You make an excellent point. He said a thing that I totally disagree with. And I would be like, dude, I can't believe you fucking said that. But now I understand. If he would have said the thing that I know he said to me before in private and he said it on a public forum.
Gulag.
People have been put to jail for that or worse. You know,
Does Russia understand sick? did he put sick after?
He did not. He didn't ratchet his colors or anything else. It is absolutely that situation where, and again, once you do the VPN and once you do Telegram and once you start looking at places that aren't YouTube and watching and learning news items that aren't YouTube or Google or Facebook, and then you start going, God, these people are really suffering. I mean, suffering. And if it's not the bombs, it's a flood. Like the dam that was protecting your 80 acres.
Because they bombed the dam.
Yeah, well, you know, so if you thought I'm far enough back from the lines, it doesn't matter.
No, the nuclear power plant may go up next.
That's exactly what, and so you feel bad for him.
Yeah.
You really do.
It doesn't matter. You got to stand outside and go, just stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
It turns into those things. You're like, come on, guys, come on. That's why we don't do world wars anymore. Exactly. It's embarrassing.
I haven't sent him to you yet. He's really funny. It's on a guy on Instagram. Habitual line crosser.
Habitual line crosser. Okay.
And he's military. His entire thing is, you know, drones and long distance fighting and blah blah blah. I'll send it to you later. It's really funny. And he does these little things where he pretends to be each country.
Oh, okay.
And literally it comes down to Russia, just stop.
Just stop.
Just stop. Right. You're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah. He's the guy that does, like, and there's Florida in the corner again.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Right.
Just stop.
Yep. That's it is one of those situations where you're like, God damn it, I thought we were done with this.
Yep.
I thought we got to the point where it was going to be like...
Look, man, this is just getting old.
You
pretty much proved all of your military... Like, we have wasted our military budget trying to catch up to you when it realized we're fighting 81 Chevettes.
But I think what it is... I mean, this is just an outside opinion, but I just think Putin's really old. He's got a limited amount of time, and he wanted to make a mark on you know?
The thing I learned about playing the game of drink and chess against Russians... is that they always try to be about six dips ahead of you. And the problem was everybody was lying to him because they've been stealing money for 27 years. And so he thought he was five steps ahead of where he actually was, which is he already had the United States in collapse because of stuff that had happened. Don't worry about it. He figured this was going to be an easy walk.
Yeah.
There was nothing here. Like you said, it was going to be 30 days? This was a police action. He was walking into Ukraine because he thought he was going to be able to. Come to find out, literally everybody had been stealing all of the maintenance money for his military for the past.
You know what
years.
The opposite of Ukraine is though? Is a red and white fucking TNT 135 that you had on the screen. That's the exact opposite.
If it had blue on it, we would have known.
Oh, I'm just saying that, you know. Yeah. People watch the news. They know what's
going on. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, he's supposed to be this mastermind, but at the end of the day, you're just looking at him going, no, that's just kind of sad, bud. You really need some people that are less yes men. And
next on the data download, we're going to the circle table, Phil. Do we have Donna Brazil and coming in?
Well, nothing gets us back from an unsolvable world problem.
Right. We're going to solve all the world's problems and shit talk motorcycles in the same half hour.
If you just fucking hand them some Vespas, they'd all be happy. You know? That's right.
make everybody ride a goddamn Vespa.
That's Bruno! Right.
Bruno! Hey!
It's a Vespa!
It's a Vespa.
It's just the greatest invention the world ever created. So the reason I'm trying so desperately to bring up a particular picture of a particular bike. Are you okay over there, bud?
Yeah.
You sure? Okay. All right.
I've been smokeless all day.
That's why.
Yeah, that'll do it. It'll catch up to you. And that, you know, the wind's blowing out of the south now, so Canada blew away. So here's what I wanted to bring up. I have a little insider information about some stuff.
Stuff?
And so we're doing a thing at the shop. And we're doing a couple things at the shop. One is we're taking cash. We're giving people sizable discounts for cash. Like fucking sizable, like legit, like put your credit card away. You're going to want to pay me cash.
Bring in the greenbacks.
Bring in the greenbacks, right? Bring in the goddamn greenbacks.
This all falls back to Phil and the whole stripper thing.
We don't get into it. As we said, I can't pay that stripper with your fucking debit card, right? So the stripper won't take the debit card. So here's what I'm doing.
Look at that guy right there.
Oh, yeah.
So, as you might know, I'm a dealer for Benelli Motorcycles. I sell motorcycles. And the Benelli TNT 135 is near and dear to all of our goddamn hearts, as it is. It's $3,199 if you take the white one, or the red one, or the black one. Red, white, or black. If you want the green one, it's an extra $70. Because the green one has the green frame and a lot more paint on it, right? So the green one is more expensive.
It's the faster one, too.
It is the faster one. We did check.
Green makes it fast.
We did check, and the green one is the faster one.
But, my friends...
It's got an aftermarket pipe on it, too.
Do you know what's better than... Do you know what's better than $31.99?
Anything under that?
Tell us, Uncle Phil.
How about $29.99?
That's a saw smoking.
How about $200 off? And then instead of $500 freight, how about free?
Really?
That's $700.
Oh, yeah. Free freight. Wow.
And then how about instead of $225 destination charge, how about free?
Wow.
How about $925 off?
Wow.
Get out of here.
Cash.
Me and Chris are sitting there going, fuck you.
So I have eight... left.
Oh, wow.
I have four greens and four not greens.
And are they going to turn into CF Motos next year? Or
nope.
Whatever? Or QJs?
Nope.
They're still going to be
They're always going to be Benellis.
Oh, yep. Good. All right.
Benelli's not going away.
All right.
They've had since 1911.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
But, yep.
But QJ is selling their QJ SF 135, mm-hmm. which is different than the Benelli, but not a lot different because they come out of the same goddamn factory, mm-hmm. right? But Benelli is moving over to the Benelli house, which the Benelli house will contain Benelli and Kiwi. Hmm. Same product, different distributor.
Gotcha.
Same factory, different distributor. Mm-hmm. Same everything, different distributor.
Right.
And actually, same distributor, just different name. Okay.
How so, can we get one?
$31.99? No, $29.99. Wow. So $2,999 if you want a white one, a red one, or a black one. While supplies last.
Minus?
Or for $70 more, you get a green one.
I'd go to the green one.
Now, for $70 more, you get a green one. I have four green ones. I have
so
two whites, one red,
so
one black.
So if you're headed to Mid-Ohio... Right?
So if you're headed to Mid-Ohio...
deliver it to you.
And you want the world's cheapest way you can buy a Benelli, that's no freight.
No destination.
That's no destination charge.
And this is still cheaper than any used Grom that has been ratted out on the marketplace you will ever find.
You will pay your county tax if that's applicable or in the state you're from. Okay? We have six states in Ohio that we collect tax for. I cannot give you tax for free. Quit trying to make me go to jail. I will not. I cannot give you tax for free. I'm not going to commit a felony for your dumb ass. Okay? But here's the thing that I can do. It's $29.99.
But wait, there's more.
$3,000. $29.99. You are going to pay the tax because you have to fucking pay your tax. But your tax is only on $29.99.
Man, it's a good bike, man.
And if you don't think that a brand new Benelli TNT for $29.99 is a good goddamn deal, ask anybody sitting at this table that paid more than that.
Yeah,
because we all did.
Yeah, three of us. Yeah.
No, I have not.
Exactly. Tom's waited for the $29.99
special.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm in now.
Right. And the reason I'm doing this is I have eight of them, and I don't want to have eight of them anymore, and that this is a loophole because I'm not supposed to be allowed to discount current model bikes. These are current model bikes. These are not two-year-old unsold demo models. These are all 0 mile bikes. Tom can attest to the fact that they're still in the crate.
Yeah. No, I have to move them all the freaking time.
They're in the crate. These are bikes in the crate. The question is,
there's one red 22, I believe.
Yep.
Yep.
And if you want a red one, you're going to get a 22.
Yep. Yeah, but there's no difference.
But there is no difference.
There's no difference.
And they're still amazing.
If
like, I have ridden these things. They're
if
amazing
you say,
bikes.
I'm sorry, Phil, I can only have a red one. Then you're going to get a 22. And the price is the same because it's still a sore dick deal. You can't do better than that. I tried. And we looked at the numbers any way we could swing it. This is fire sale.
So the sore dick deal thing.
Yeah.
Like a 22-year-old, that doesn't work, though, because they'll still beat it. Like they'll, you know what I mean? Like again, when you're 22, you got a lot of horn going.
Yeah,
on,
yeah, so I get it. Yeah. Well, you know what?
Just saying.
I haven't seen a 22-year-old in my shop yet with $4,000 to spend, so we're good.
Settle down.
We know, Jesus. Right? We
this
know.
Is, this I'm, is sober,
I'm,
Steve.
See, I am with Chris.
Sober, Steve.
I am with Chris. Settle down.
Settle down. So, if you want a Benelli TNT 135,
man, our merch.
If you only have $3,000 burning hole in your pocket, plus a couple of shekels over for tax, if you have tax that you have to pay,
or if you're not going to ride on the road, don't pay the tax.
Can I say this?
Go dirt bike.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say that within 7 days of this cast dropping, all those are gone.
I think they might be, but there's eight of them. So we have eight. The one thing I told Tom what we were going to do is we're going to prep them all. We were going to take them to Mid-Ohio and we were going to put $3,000 cash. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck
STFU.
Up.
STFU.
Right. Shut the fuck up.
Yes, we will absolutely take your BMW R60/2 on trade.
Nope,
as long
you got to do
running.
Exactly what we talked about last year. Uh-oh. When they come up, $3,000. Would you take 26? $3,100.
Nah.
Would you take 28?
$3,200.
That's right. How about 29?
$3,400.
But you said it was
$3,500.
But it was $3,000.
$3,600.
I'm just not buying it.
$3,700.
Oh, I'm going to go away.
$3,800.
Would you take 28?
Would you like to try for 1,000 more? I could do this all day.
No.
Hey, friends, you see what this guy just did?
Yeah.
Don't be that asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Let him
have died for your sins.
Right.
Now come up and give me three long green, right?
Like,
give me $3,000 bills.
But at Mid-Ohio, I think you're going to have to go as far as saying, like, this is not a used bike. I am not haggling.
Right.
Shut the fuck up.
Right.
$3,000 cash. And then that rule applies that we just discussed.
That's a lot of reading.
It's a lot.
Dude, they're going to look at the price.
Don't give me the dude shit. These people are drunk.
$3K dollar sign, shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Look, he's had at least two Becky margaritas and one Tom bourbon, bacon.
I promise
whatever
you,
the hell I just made.
If we did that, and when I discuss this, if we did that and we tried to make it as simple as possible, because sometimes people at Mid-Ohio feel that they are compelled to haggle, whereas I'm compelled to walk up and go, $2,300? Yeah, $2,300. Here's the money. And I fuck off.
Yeah.
You've watched me buy bikes at Mid-Ohio drunk. If the bike's a good deal, the bike's a good deal.
Right.
I'm not going to sweat the guy. Right. We walk up, we turn the bike on, the bike runs. I take it for a little ride around the thing. I go, $2,400. Beautiful. Here's the cash. Sign the title. Good. Well, that was fucking painless. Yeah, because it was a really good fucking deal.
Well, I always
told... And then for the rest of the weekend, everybody goes, you paid $2,400 for a running Honda Dream with 800 miles on it. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And you'd pay $4,000 for it. Yeah, well, holy shit. Yeah, did you beat the guy up? No, I didn't have to beat the guy up. His price was fair.
Yeah. Just
hit him. I always tell people, if it's still on the trailer, you're going to get a better deal. If I got to pull it off the trailer and sit there...
And someday it's the opposite. If I don't have to put it in the trailer, it's a really good deal.
But that's the thing. Is I would rather give you the smoking deal off the trailer so I have walking cash.
Yeah, but you don't understand. You haven't been to Mid-Ohio yet, dude.
But like, I have been to Barber many years.
No, I understand that, but it's a different beast, man. Like, you're going to see, like...
The trailers get assaulted while they're in line buying tickets.
Yeah, you're not...
I have done this.
Yeah.
I have done this.
Like, the days of waiting for Sunday to buy your bike ain't happening.
No.
Guy comes up with $500 in his hand. He's holding the handlebars of your Baltaco.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not going to let go.
No.
He's like, I got it. Buying first.
I'm on that. Like, and that's the funny part. Like, literally, I told you in the driveway.
How about...
I have only bought one bike since I've been in Ohio, and it's a freaking mini bike.
New sign. $3,000 cash. Right. If you would like to negotiate, $35.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's true.
But the idea is always... It's better to just, when we had all those, the Trail 70s we brought out the one year, and we just had a dozen Trail 70s, and we had them all priced out between $1,000 and $2,000, right? Yeah. And everything was on it. And the guy's looking at the $1,800 one, he's like, will you take 12? And I'm like, yeah, for that one over there that says 12
over there.
Yeah. We just need to move you over a little.
Right,
yeah.
And the guy was like, okay, I'll take it, right? And we sold out of those things. I mean, they sold fast. So the idea would be a running bike you can ride around Mid-Ohio for $3K. That's a legitimate fun motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to transport them down there.
Yeah.
So we'll sell them here. We'll sell them before Mid-Ohio.
So tell the story about, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, you're going to have a competition.
Yeah.
Where you have to buy a bike, and then you resell it, and then you buy another one, and you sell it.
So, Mid-Ohio Challenge.
Yeah, so tell that story again.
So we got to see the feasibility of this, okay?
Crap.
So the way the Mid-Ohio Challenge was started, and we did this, we actually did this.
Oh, 10 years ago?
A long time ago. We did it. We pulled it off. And the goal was that everybody started with $500. It was a $500 thing.
Buy-in.
So it's a buy-in, basically. Show me your $500, right? Do you want to be a member of this team or not? And then whatever happens, happens. However freaky deaky you want to get it, that's fine. But you got to ride your bike to the Johnny Appleseed or Lamplighter or whatever the breakfast place was Sunday morning. So whatever you turned your $500 into, we expect you to ride that bike to breakfast on Sunday.
Right.
And that year, everybody,
hilarious.
It was bonkers as fuck. I mean, we were getting, like, there was some weird shit deals. I ended up with a TDM 850.
Really?
So I
the red one.
Right? The red one.
Yeah, nice. I remember that bike.
It took me four moves.
Yeah.
I had to buy this, sell that, buy this, sell that, buy this, sell that. But I did get all the way to a TDM 850 that ran.
Yeah, with the gray seat.
With the gray seat. Yeah. And I rode it to breakfast, a running TDM 850 that I did pay about $1,800 for.
I was gonna say, I sold a non-runner for $12.
Yeah, I bought it for $1,800, running with a title and all the books and extra parts and the whole deal.
It was clean too.
It was a really nice bike and it ran great. So that was what I showed up with. But like, people had three bikes. Like, there were people that somehow managed to parlay that into like a running CB550, a Project KZ1000, and a Project CB750.
This is obviously 10 years ago.
This was 10. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what Chris is bringing up is that $500 back then went pretty far at Mid-Ohio.
Yeah, now you're buying a fucking a wheel.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't
know. You know, it's the economy's kind of weird.
It is weird right
and,
now.
And like, I have looked at Marketplace.
Yeah.
You can buy really nice, like there was a Radiant Yeah. I haven't seen a good Radian in decades.
Welcome to Cleveland.
Yeah. Right.
We're tripping over the fucking
for
thing.
Like yeah. nothing. Yeah. There's yeah. a Radian for nothing on here. And I'm like, you know, I should buy that just because it's intact.
Yeah, and you can buy a Radian here in Cleveland. It's got 3,100 miles on it.
For 600 bucks.
For 600 bucks. Because yeah.
You're only going to get, you know, like what? The gas tank holds like 8.8 gallons of gas.
It's not even, you make but it 30 miles.
Like, I don't know last year. I honestly don't know if I bought a bike last year.
I didn't. Did I? I don't know.
I don't think I did last year.
If anybody wants to
I did. The Van Van. I bought a
Van Van. You get the Van Van last year? Because I didn't see anything last year that I was like, you know, that's cool and I can't live without it.
But I arranged the Van Van ahead of time.
Oh, you did?
Like, I got with the guy, went back and forth, made some trade deals, some cash deal, whatever. So, like,
okay.
But yeah, walking around last year, everything was so fucking ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
It was like, bring a trailer has ruined everyone.
Well,
they're like, dude, there was a guy, it was funny. Me, Nick, and some other dude were on Vintage Motorcycle something on Facebook.
Yeah.
And this poor dude, he posted a CB350 that was not as nice as mine for $7,900.
See?
And somebody was like, you know, of course he got attacked by everybody, right?
Exactly.
And he's like, well, show me one that looks good as this. So I put mine up and I was like $74.99, like $1 under his. And he was like, man, it was on Bring a Trailer. One sold for $8,000. I'm just like, that fucking website is responsible for ruining everyone, man.
I got a R50/2 running for one of my customers in New Orleans that went on Bring a Trailer.
Yep.
And I literally had to JB Weld the carburetors back together. Not lying. And I told him, I said, look, by the seat is Shangjiang makes replica /2 carburetors.
They sure do.
And I said, look, for $600, if you're going to keep this bike, buy these carburetors. Otherwise, well, it's going on Bring a Trailer. I said, okay, cool. It went to, the bid went, to, he shill bid himself up to $9,000.
Yep.
And the thing about Bring a Trailer is if you're in 10% of your minimum reserve, they'll meet it, so you have to pay the $7,000 to yourself.
Exactly. That's where you got to be really fucking careful about Bring a Trailer.
He ended up 10%. Buying his own bike back from himself, paying Bring a Trailer 10% because I got the bike running so well. It was a one kick /2.
Yeah.
And he's riding this thing around. I said, look, the JB Weld is eventually going to fail. Buy yourself some freaking carburetors. He's like, oh no, I love it. It's the greatest bike I've ever had. I'm like, buy the carburetors. It's eventually going to start puking gas.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with Bring a Trailer is literally everything on there is crap somebody like me has slapped together for somebody with too much money.
Somehow what they've done is they've advertised to a lot of people with a lot of money. And all they see is like, oh, the bike's done. I'll buy it. And like, they're just inflated beyond.
Well, the problem here is that you've hit. Okay. For years, the art world has been cobbled together by drug dealers. This is not a joke.
It's drug just
dealers,
false
arms
currency.
Dealers. It's false currency because that's you can put $10,000 or $1 million into something that literally has no value.
It was a fungible token.
And so, yeah, exactly.
Right. It's a fungible token.
This is literally, always you know, the monkey smoking a cigar that you cannot.
And that's a non-fungible token, right?
And like suddenly something that is worth absolutely fuck all nothing is worth $1 million, and you just pass it along, and it's $1 million. Whoever gets it next.
Right. I mean, look at the prices.
And that is what's happened with
Bring
a Trailer.
Man,
that's
all right.
Insane.
So here's what I wanted to say, show you, because this this is something that. If you haven't looked at this
oh
yet.
My God, look at the Sandcast. $41,000.
Have you ever met a Sandcast guy? Jesus Christ.
There so was a to get an inferior casting.
There was a Sandcast frame at Mid-Ohio 3 years ago that was just a frame, has title, said it had a title. It was sitting out in the field, $1,200.
Yeah.
For a Sandcast frame, has title, and it had been in a fire. It was burned up. Everything was burned up off of it. Okay. So here's what I wanted to bring up, and this is why I wanted to say it for those of us who are going to Mid-Ohio, for those of us who believe or people that believe, and I will cite, Tom said, Bring a Trailer, ruined the world. Here's Bring a Trailer. We all know what CB750s are worth. We all been playing this game for a long time.
$700.
We're not children. Okay. So if we look at some recent auctions, I'm going to tell you that whole my CB750 is worth $10,000 thing is not true anymore. There are many CB750s that sold for $5,600, $5,500, right? $6,300, $5,700.
I got one today for $325. I'm not kidding.
Really?
I have to go pick it up. It's in boxes, but it's...
Okay, all right.
It's got a title.
But this is my point, is it is... It's over. It's just fucking over, man. It's just fucking
over.
Yeah,
I think we have kind of jumped the shark on this one.
It's over. There are no shortage of CB750s.
Due to 350 zone, look it up and see what they're... It's insane what some of the guys are doing in 350s on bringing
right.
a trailer.
But don't get your hopes up for that, because there's a 1971 CB750 with a Velarex sidecar, and that is $5,100 for a CB750 with a sidecar. And it's a Velarex sidecar. It's a good sidecar. The sidecar on its own is worth $2,000. Oh, right. So that bike at $5,100, that's a bit of a deal, right? For a CB750K, and it's a K1. So it's a nice early CB750 with a sidecar. It's come down, guys. It's come down a lot. It's calmed down dramatically. Well, it ain't where it was before, but it's on its way.
The drug dealers and money launderers have run out of money.
I think it's this. Hey, how many stimulus checks did you get this year?
Yeah, zero.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't
scroll down to the Super Sport. What did they get for the Super Sport?
I don't think it's. Well, I mean,
what did they get for the Super Sport?
Yeah,
$1,000 less than they did for the K. Like always,
$6,700.
Which one? The yellow
one? That one. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, you can't make me like these bikes. Yep.
I like it.
You can't make me like a Super Sport.
Well, the Super Sport. Yeah.
I just don't like them. I just don't. To me,
what's the 400?
There's something. There's something that happened at the back of the CB750 Super Sport I cannot forgive you for.
See, I love it because it reminds me of my GS850s.
But the world made GS850s, and it's a better bike.
I get it, but right? I still like this one too.
But I would buy all the GS850s, or I'd buy all the GS1000s,
right,
which is a much, much, much better bike.
Right.
And I would let you all buy all the CB750Fs. The CB400F, totally different story.
You know what? Right? I like this bike. I'm smarter than buying any of all of these
I things. Like this bike too, but I could buy a Suzuki GS1000 that does everything better than this bike. It goes better, it stops better, it lasts longer.
Now the 1000ES is what you want though. Those fuckers are $8,000 now all day for anything that's remotely looking halfway decent.
Yep. Yep, but they're all settling down because all the people that showed up with a fat wallet don't have the fat wallet anymore. Because I don't know if you're white boy wealthy and you looked at your Vanguard account lately, but your Vanguard account ain't doing the one-handed push-ups it was doing 16 months ago, right? And your Stimmy checks don't come in anymore. And remember when you were locked at home for COVID and you're doing all that fucking? Well, now you got a baby. And COVID babies have hurt my business hard.
Oh, I'm sure.
COVID babies are alive and they're real and they're making people sell their bikes.
They're eating up money.
They are eating up money and they're not getting Stimmy checks or nothing. So when you think about like how many of my customers had COVID babies and they come into my shop and they're like, hey man, you remember that bike I bought off you last year? Hold on. Let me close my eyes and make this look authentic. You've had some unforeseen financial stress and you need to sell it as fast as you can. Yeah. Okay. What do you want for it? More than I paid?
Yeah.
Because there's a shortage, you know. No, you got yours.
Nope.
There's not a shortage. You have one.
Yeah.
Shortage is over. You have one. So does everyone else. And guess what's happening? When you see that tsunami happen, right? When the tsunami happens, the first thing that happens is the water goes away from the beach.
Right.
That's your warning. That was last year. The water went away from the beach.
Right.
Your feet got dry. But what happens this year is all the water comes back and brings its friends with it. And that's when you lose your fucking house, right? And that's what's happening right now is, during COVID, as they say, it's a lot like a hurricane. There's a lot of sucking and blowing, but eventually you lose your house. That customer base is so funny. I've had 15 phone calls a week for the past 3 months. Will you buy my bike? That depends. What? On the next thing you say. Well, I saw one on Bring a Trailer I won't buy your bike. I saw one on Facebook Market. No, I won't buy your bike. I expect to sell it there. Right. I said, I tell you what you should do. You should go sell your bike. And then use that money to buy things you need.
Diapers.
Right. Well, but you know, I owe more money than anybody's willing to pay me for it. Yes, that's because you're bad at math.
This is called being underwater.
Yeah, so, oh, that's another tip. Hey, you want a Cleveland Moto top tip?
Don't live below sea level.
If you want to buy a motorcycle you don't have the cash for, right? So if you need to buy a motorcycle, but you don't have enough cash to buy it, don't buy the motorcycle. That's first tip.
Yep.
Second tip, if you must finance it, if you think, it's okay, I like having payments, I want to make my payments, I want to buy that motorcycle. Do you know who you borrow money from?
Lightstream.
Your own fucking bank.
Nash, hey, say it's me.
So, and there might be a reason for that, Tom.
Right.
The reason I tell people to go to their own bank is if you have a bank, they know your name, they know your address, they know how much money you've made, they know how much money you had for a balance. They're not basing everything on a TransUnion score or something else. They know you, they know who you are. It is called a first party loan. If you come into my shop and you borrow money from Octane Lending or Sheffield or Roadrunner or whoever, that's a third party loan. Okay. You're coming to my shop. I'm not getting my beak wet on this deal. If I was getting my beak wet, I'd be telling you something totally different, but I'm not getting my beak wet. I'm just watching my customers get fucked over.
I can't break that many legs every week.
The customer that came into my shop yesterday that got a 19.99% interest rate.
I don't even get credit cards that high anymore.
Oh my God.
Right?
So that $5,000 bike is going to cost him what?
$7,800. Over the life of the loan. Extra $2,800 over the life of the loan. More than 50% of the purchase price of the bike over the life of the loan.
So it's kind of like a student loan.
Yeah, except for you don't get forgiveness.
Right.
Okay.
We're not getting that either.
Right. Yeah. So how about this? Same customer went to his own fucking bank. He got 6.99. What the fuck was he doing filling out a third-party credit application at my shop where they offered him 19.99 when at his own bank he got 6.99?
And if you have a credit union, you can get a couple years worth of credit union?
My credit union deal when I signed up to join the credit union was simply because Ohio Educators Credit Union, I'm not a teacher.
Right. You know somebody that is, though.
No, the rule for it was you had to have attended one class in the state of Ohio.
Oh, really?
DUI school counts. All right? So I didn't go to school for that.
Thank goodness.
I learned how to do that on my own.
Yeah.
Okay. But I became an Ohio Educator Credit Union member because they were doing a deal for 1.9.
That's what I'm saying.
For new motorcycle loans.
Credit unions are good.
1.9. This is 8 years ago when everything was 7.99 or 9.99. They did a deal for 1.99. I walked in the door. I said, let me get some of this 1.99 action just because my money doesn't earn interest that way. So let's let you pay for this. And it's actually the best way I can pay this bike off.
Right.
And I need to exercise some credit because I pay for everything with cash. And so my credit was like a 728 score, even though I didn't owe anybody on planet Earth money.
Yeah, it's insane.
So that's the way that works. And if you don't understand that, you need to grow up and understand that and make a little, you exercise your credit a little bit and you'll be okay. I went in and they said, yeah, well, you have to be a member of the credit union. I said, well, what's that take? And they said, $50. Yeah. And I said, what? It's going to cost me 50? And they said, no, you're going to put $50 into your own account.
Right.
Check, start that up. So I did that. And then they did the loan and I got my little loan paperwork. I left there within my hand. I had a check for the purchase price of the Moto Guzzi. It took 21 minutes. I'm no kidding. That's all it took. I had $50 in a credit union account. And then I got a thing like 3 weeks later that I was like, oh, you made 18 cents. And I was like, wait a second. You didn't bill me a fee for not using my account?
Yeah.
You didn't bill me a dormancy fee. You literally just gave me 18 cents. So I took 10 grand and put it into my credit union. And I have been making money on the money in my credit union.
And you know, it's crazy too. If you really do some research with credit unions, a lot of time they'll have things like if you put $500 into the account and leave it there for a year, they'll give you $400 on top of that.
They're running one right now for Navy Federal.
Yeah.
And you don't need to have ever been in the Navy. Imagine that.
You just have to blow a semen?
I was going to say.
Oh, no, sir. That's just ice cream.
But there is a semen requirement. But that's, so that is a top tech tip is if you're going into a motorcycle dealership because you want to buy a new motorcycle and they're offering you Suzuki's rotational credit card or some other weirdo financing plan, run the fuck away. Go back to your bank where you have a checking account. Remember checks? We have a checking account or a savings account and ask them. Just say, here's the invoice from, you know, Suzuki dealer down the street. They said, I got to buy this bike for this much money. Your bank turns out your bank, unless your bank is like Venmo Bank, which is a thing, right? Or Discover Card Bank, which
or
is
Wells
a thing.
Fargo.
Or Wells Fargo. Ouch. But it's true. They will loan you the money because they know you and it's a first party loan.
Right.
And guess what reports quicker to your credit union? I mean, sorry, to your credit score.
Credit unions.
No.
What?
Your own bank.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're trying to build credit, Roadrunner, all these third-party loans, they are not the way to go. No. They report 100% of late payments. They do not report good payments.
Right.
They only report bad activity.
But if you can't get a loan and you have credit cards, it's a really good idea to take cash advances out on all the cards to buy your motorcycle.
Come on, Steve. You're talking to 20-year-old Phil now.
That's it. What, 29% is not that much. Come on.
It's a cash advance. You know I'm going to hit the lottery next month. I know I'll be able to pay this back.
It's the American way.
Yeah. And then my other tech tip is do not take your motorcycle in for service if you cannot pay for the repair.
Right.
That's a new one.
What do you mean, storage fees?
Yeah, that's something.
You mean you don't have unlimited space on your floor that you can just store anybody's motorcycle for years at a time?
I have taken a certain unique demonic pleasure now of when I tell people, hi, it's Phil from Cleveland Moto. Just call and let you know your bike is done. You're going to get 3 free days of storage from this moment right now today. After that, it's $30 a day.
Right.
It's been 10 days. That's $300 added to your bill.
And your bike's a $500 bike.
And your repair job was $129.
Yeah. Well, no. We don't really take in junk.
We don't. But I mean, we've been more careful. We've been more careful these days.
And like, I try as hard as I can to get it as fast as I can.
I just think it's funny. The guy who calls me, is my bike done yet?
Oh, yeah.
Is my bike done yet?
Yes, it is. Bring me money.
Is my bike done yet?
Well, yeah.
Is my bike done yet? Yes, your bike is done. Can I come and get it? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
What do I owe you? $429. I'm going to have to see about getting that kind of money together. Do you know anybody who writes microloans? What the fuck? You brought your bike into my shop.
Yeah.
You called me 18 times asking me if it was done yet. I told you. I gave you an estimate when you showed up.
Not only that, but how much do you think an hour of labor costs?
You've had 9 days of us waiting on your parts to figure out where to get $429.
Yeah. Yeah.
You called me acting like you'd be there in a hot New York second the second I told you it was done. Now it's done, and you don't have $429.
Or I remember when I was there with you. A guy kept calling you and calling you and calling you to get it done.
Yeah.
And then never just came. Like, he just never came to pick the fucking bike up.
It's still there, Sleepy.
Oh, Jesus.
It's still there. And everyone's like, well, that's great. You can do a mechanics lien. Yeah, let's move your ass to Ohio and I'm going to have you. Tell you what, I will pay you $1,000 for every mechanics lien you successfully do, hotshot.
Yeah.
Come on in. Daddy said it. I said it. I will pay you $1,000 for every successful mechanics lien you do. Step up, Johnny. If you tell me it's so easy, well, in Kentucky, it's easy.
That's all right.
Guess what?
We're not in Kentucky.
In Tennessee, it's easy. Good for you. In New York, it's easy. They do them all the time. In Indiana, it's great.
Kentucky's very, unbelievably, Kentucky's very fair with all their DMV shit. If you do a trade in Kentucky and you trade equal value motorcycles, you owe no tax.
Of course not.
Hey,
that's fair.
I traded my Super 10 Ray for the FJ09. Equal $7,500 each, right?
Yeah, right.
He went home, got his title, happy as a clam. I got hit with fucking tax on $7,500.
At Ohio.
Yeah.
Yes, you did, of course.
I didn't expect that. I was pissed,
man.
I
mean, Ohio.
I mean, if that bike is still there,
do
you want to play a game? How long does it take to get towed from the side of the road?
The answer for that is forever. So we played that game.
Put it down by the Thai restaurant.
Well, a little something for you. The Cleveland police will write you a citation for littering before they will pick that bike up and tow it to the impound lot. So if anybody happened to see you drop that off on any of our conveniently placed thousands of cameras in the city of Cleveland, if you get busted for that illegal dumping, you're going to be paying about a $700 fine.
Well, if I ride it down there with a helmet.
That's exactly right. I would recommend ghost riding.
And I'm parking it right down there by the side of the street.
You're fine. Yep.
And it's not my plate and it's not my bike.
If it was running, we'd take it to Mid-Ohio. But, that's how we get rid of
it. That's true.
That's how we get rid of it. And when somebody comes in like, so what's the deal with this bike? It's abandoned. Well, how come you didn't get a mechanic lien? Because it's Ohio.
Because it's Ohio.
Because it's Ohio. Right. How come this bike doesn't have a title? Ohio. Well, I'm selling you a bike. It has no title. Oh, we're cutting the price in half.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, why? Because it's Ohio. If you don't like that, talk to Joe Casola.
Yeah.
He'll charge you $400 and you will get a squeaky clean bulletproof Tennessee title.
Friend of the shop, Saint Cycle.
Great guy, Saint Cycle. He will he Saints title now. He's changed
Saints title.
Saints title. He will get you the squeakiest, cleanest title you've ever never seen before.
Yep.
As long as the bike doesn't come up stolen. If it comes
among other things.
Among other things.
Don't be a dick face.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Joe would be very happy to be like, and your bike is stolen. Thanks for the $400 donation.
Correct.
Right.
So don't try to be a dumb shit and make Joe buy a stolen
really
bike.
The most stoic kind of guy that I've met when it comes to this kind of stuff. He's like, no, I am above the board. I am not going down for this.
He is not. This is not a slippery title.
No.
That's why I said this is a bulletproof title.
No.
When Joe gives you a title for your bike, you know that will stand up anywhere on planet Earth. It is a great goddamn title, but you paid for it.
Yep.
It is not a Las Vegas title.
It is not cheap.
It is not a Vermont title. I realized the other day, I was like, look, I got 5 Vermont registrations. I was like, oh man, maybe I should send some money in and get renewed because they do 2-year renewals. Right. And I was like, oh, I forgot all about these.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm like, oh, the bike is still here. I still own the bike and the plate. I still own the plate.
Because unlike Louisiana, Ohio does do bonded titles.
Good luck.
Good luck.
No, I'll say that again. I'll give you $500. If you can produce me a bonded title for half of the shit I got in my shop. So maybe if you're Johnny Hot Shit with the Title Bureau or Johnny Hot Shit with, I got a judge in my pocket.
Wait.
Come to my shop. And I think for $1,000 a mechanics lien and for $500 a bonded title, you could make me look pretty stupid.
You know, I'm thinking about this.
But ain't nobody taking a Pepsi challenge yet.
If Ohio recognizes bonded titles, that means that I can get a Mississippi bonded title, which nobody recognizes.
Man, you do not understand the piranhas that work at the Title Bureau.
Yeah, dude. Welcome to Ohio. They might seem nice and lines might not be big.
But great.
You give them anything but a non-standard anything and you're dealing with...
That's true.
You watch the word no has traveled to the speed of light. It'll hurt your soul, they say no so good.
Now, here's a tip for you, though. If you do... So, I the Wellington DMV...
Don't do this. We talked about this before.
All right, sorry. But what I was going to say is...
A certain township.
Right. But township. So, when I go there now with multiple titles, I take the ladies donuts. And they rubber... The last time I went in there, they were like, donut guy! And I was like, got him with me. And I'm like, it's fucking... They'll do anything for you, man. I had a rip title. I was really worried about it. It ripped.
They wouldn't take Johnny McElfresh's
mousy title.
They wouldn't take that.
Yeah, so I brought a rip title, and she was like, well, you got both pieces, and most over 50%. Yeah, we'll get that taken care of for you.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Take them donuts, man.
Cool. I'm gonna talk to you about the double salvage Triumph title.
You can try it.
I'm telling you, man. This is one of those things. It is better... To go out, if you see a title office that has a couple Amish buggies out front, that's your spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's your spot. Have one title, have a bill of sale that's notarized with some signatures on it and a conspicuous amount of information. On this day and this time, transferred between this party and a signature and the whole deal, and just go in strong.
Go in strong.
Yeah.
I will be honest.
Go for it.
When I transferred the element and the buddy, it was a little bit more inconvenient in that I had to go to 2 different buildings in the same little mini mall.
Title place one, plate place the other.
Yeah. Is odd to me.
Because titles are a private industry in the state of Ohio.
It's license really weird.
License plates are a registration. That's a state thing. Titles are a private organization.
But they both kind of, like, it was really easy. Yeah. It was just really inconvenient to go like
100 yards.
Yeah, but they're always 100 yards away from each other.
Right.
That's just been the way forever.
Right.
So you brought up the Amish. I saw something when I was at the drag strip yesterday working.
Yeah.
That's out in Amish.
Dragway 42 is out in Amish country.
Right. So I saw
something. Racing buggies?
Racing buggies.
No, but I saw something I've never seen before. When I was leaving there at 6:30, right?
Yeah.
There was a dude, an Amish guy, in his fucking buggy. Passed the fuck out with Bud Light cans, Miller Light, and the horse was just driving the fucking buggy down the street.
Well, yeah.
Can he get a D? Like the horse is walking, right?
My understanding.
Can he get a DUI?
Absolutely. See, Chris has got the right answer here.
So, but I want to know: did the horse take him home? He's fucking hammered. The horse probably just went home, right?
The answer is yes. The horse knows the way back to the barn because that is where the food is.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Because horses are...
The question is, was the horse drunk?
I was going to say, that's the original Tesla, though. It's the self-driving buggy.
As I have been told...
That's lane assist.
Don't worry about it. Drink all you want. I got fucking...
I have been told... Time and time again, horses know exactly where the barn is because that's where the food lives.
That doesn't surprise me that a horse can find its way home.
Right.
What surprises me is an Amish fella passed out on Bud Light.
That doesn't surprise me.
Wait.
You ready for it? Rumspringa.
No, this dude, this is
working man. Right?
This guy was full gray beard. He's 60-year-old barn builder.
Right.
And you know what? It ain't his first rodeo.
No.
And that's how he's been doing that for...
Yeah.
He gets an extra hour of sleep every day.
And it is not the horse's first rodeo either.
No, it is not. I'm going to say that...
That horse knows...
If they went past the state trooper, the state trooper would say, I could, but I won't.
Because the horse was going like 8 miles an hour.
The horse is going the right hand.
Yeah, just doing his thing.
Right,
that's it. Coming back from band camp last year...
Yeah,
I came the back way and came through Amish country, and I was coming around a sweeper. I was in the element, fully loaded, coming around a sweeper, and I went, "Oh God!" There was a couple teenagers, and a horse and buggy, and they were on the right because they were.
Yeah.
And I came around the sweeper, and I went, "Oh crap!"
Yeah.
But like, to tell me that somebody's passed out behind the wheel in a carriage with a horse. Going, yep, nope, I know where we're going,
behind
boss. Let's go.
Right.
Behind the reins.
That's right. Yeah.
So no, this is not
it
a
is
thing.
Fucking I can just
so for all the Amish checking in.
There's a lot of weird shit in Ohio. Ohio's got a lot of its own rules. It's living here is a strange combination of rural and urban.
You gotta figure out what the difference between a Mennonite and Amish is.
Well, you don't have to figure it out.
No, the length of the skirts and the fact that the Mennonites are probably made out of denim.
You don't have to figure it out.
I did date a Mennonite.
You just have to not be an asshole.
The Mennonites cast a doozy from the left hand side.
Yeah. So I think that's been a fair podcast.
Yeah.
I think we gave them their money's worth. What I would say is if you haven't done it right now, this is the time that you should be, if you're listening to this, this is the time you absolutely positively should be signing up for Mid-Ohio.
Yes.
You should be getting your shit together. Get ready.
Also, this is a tip from your weird uncle.
Yeah. A bunch of weird uncles.
Yeah. But,
Uncle Touchy.
Now is the time to find the Mid-Ohio Facebook groups, and if you're going to bring a bike to sell, you might sell it before you get there and just deliver it. So
that's
put it
a
up
good
there,
move.
And then you say, hey, I want $3,000. Some guy might DM you and say, I'll give you 27, and then boom, it's done. You're just taking it and delivering it.
Oh, and a good some of our friends did this before. This is also, if you are going to be going to Mid-Ohio and you have not done it before and you don't realize it's 37 miles of walking, don't expect to find a running motorcycle there for $500-$600 that you can use instead of walking.
No.
Square one away right now.
Yeah.
So for $3,000, we can sell you a Benelli.
Okay, so for $3,000, we could sell you a Benelli.
Or,
but more importantly, you could get dibs on the other 14 motorcycles, scooters that we have at the shop.
Exactly.
That we are going to get running and bringing to Mid-Ohio.
Oh, we should make a list.
That's not a bad idea.
We should make a list because you rode the Cabo tonight, and that one's going to be up.
Yep. We could pre-sell a whole lot.
That is true.
And I mean, nothing over $1,200.
That's true.
And the thing is that I bet you'd be willing to give deals if you knew that they were sold on the way down, and you're not wasting your travel time. You know,
if somebody could, I don't know, say Venmo me or PayPal me and have it already in their name,
title
so that
go.
When we get down there, I hand you the keys, I hand you the title, and off you fuck.
And you could even
do you know who's happy about that?
Not that they need a tag for Mid-Ohio.
Everybody's happy about that.
I mean, if it's a titled bike, you can give them a 45-day tag.
Yes. I mean, how much are the SSRs? The little SSR.
We got a few of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking about that earlier. I was joking. Like, the SSR 70 is electric start.
Yeah.
It's an automatic.
Yeah.
That is a good way to get around Mid-Ohio.
Man, those things, you could trade those things like freaking baseball cards.
And I could probably sell that for like $700.
Yeah.
Like for somebody who's in the circle, right?
It's cool.
I like that. Well, that sounds like a great idea. Hello, folks. Yeah. We'll see you guys next on the podcast. Remember to ride fast and take chances. Play us out here, Johnny.
Oh, wait.
That's the red button.